Worldwide Wonderful Books presents Time Flying, A Time Traveler's Memoir by Dan Garman. Read by Kevin Gossett. Preface. 29 January 1991, 0415 Zulu, 7:15 a.m. local, near Qusar, Iraq. What was happening to me was way beyond my understanding, but I knew I didn't like it at all. A tiny, out-of-the-way portion of my mind vaguely remembered being human, and though I didn't exactly feel dead, alive probably wouldn't be the first word that popped into my brain if I had to describe my status. I longed to whimper, to retreat from this horrible existence, but as my humanity struggled to regain control, I caught myself, I think, before anything came out. In reality, I doubt I could have made a sound if I tried. My mouth had been filled with a collection of dirt, rock, and powder, which combined into a dirty, smelly sludge that choked off any chance for a single unobstructed breath. Seconds passed, and I began to be aware I possessed a body, arms, legs, and, oh shit, a head that hurt so much that without the mouth-filling sludge, I would be full-on crying in pain, not caring who heard me. The limits of my body were being charted for me once again, and I kept waiting, seemingly in vain, to recover control of a part that didn't hurt. Once my ears began working again, they began registering a low-frequency droning coming from everywhere at once. Concentrating on it, however, I finally realized the sound came from within rather than from the outside. I stirred and tried to push myself off the ground, pausing on all fours to begin the process of spitting the dirt out onto the ground once, twice, then three times, and on the last attempt, I'd cleared my mouth out enough to taste blood, which I took to be a good sign. I would have given everything I own for a single drink of water to wash out the remnants of the crap still coating the inside of my mouth and hiding among my teeth. As I tried to lever myself off the ground, a jolt of pain knifed through my head, pushing a groan from my now functionally cleared of debris mouth. Shit! I managed to croak as I collapsed back into a sitting position. I raised my hands to the source of my most extreme discomfort, my head, and as I tried to check for an obvious injury, my hands stopped short when they struck something hard. That's right, I'm wearing my flight helmet. Using both hands, I unbuckled the strap and pulled it off my head, setting off a new and even more intense wave of pain, this one morphing into nausea, forcing me back on all fours, the sickness in my gut sending signals to retch and vomit. Impossible, since I hadn't eaten anything since early in last night's mission. "Where the hell am I?" I asked, gathering the strength necessary to stand up, and at the same time, I was amazed that I had accomplished the task. The deep ringing had ceased now, and as the seconds passed, the sounds of the world resumed. I began to be aware of the sound of voices, nothing in a language I understood, but by the sound of them, those talking were agitated and seriously pissed. I had dropped my helmet when I collapsed back to my hands and knees, and it had hit the ground and rolled away, displaying an ugly, dark, dirty gray gash in the smooth white finish. The left side was marred, which made me as angry as the voices I could hear, the flight helmet being a source of pride and accomplishment for me, its black and yellow heraldic shield depicting a lion, a sword, and a lightning bolt covering most of one side. The dark gray, almost black, curved plexiglass visor hung from a single fastener. The violence done to my most important personal protection device infuriated me. What the fuck? The memory of what had happened came back in a rush, and as I turned to the right, my eyes moving to where an obviously dead body lay on its back, one eye half open, the other closed, a small neat hole an inch or so below his hairline, halfway between the center line of his nose and left eye. Laying next to the dead man was an AK-47 rifle, butt in the dirt, the muzzle across its former owner's right thigh. There was enough light to see the rocks behind where the dead man had been standing, hideously painted with the blood and other things I didn't want to think about. Had I done this? The thought immediately ran through my mind. Yes, Richard, you did that. I looked down at my right hand, but I held no gun. I'd had the Beretta 9mm auto at some point, but the weapon was nowhere to be found. As I began to frantically search for my misplaced pistol, I found another AK within arm.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?